Gracious God, by your word you provide all we need for salvation, for wholeness, for abundant life. Now draw us close in your spirit so that we may discover your will and live according to your purposes. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Our scripture this morning comes from Luke chapter 6 verses 27 through 38. Now hear the word of God. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Did any of you see the movie Steel Magnolias? Y'all know that one? Some of you do. Some of you may not. It starred Sally Field and had a pretty big lineup of strong, eccentric Southern women. And there was this one scene, and it was a Christmas party. And there were two characters. It was the woman who was Clary. That was the character's name. And then whoever Dolly Parton was playing. I can't remember her name. But the two of them were at this Christmas party. And Clary's nephew came over with some mistletoe to kiss his aunt on the cheek. And he did, and then he left, and Dolly Parton looked at Clary, and she said, "That nephew of yours is just a little piece of heaven right here on earth." And then Clary said, "I do love that family, but they all look like they've been carved out of cream cheese." And then Dolly Parton said, "Can't believe you're talking about your kin that way." And that's when Clary said, "Well, you know what they say. If you don't have anything nice to say about anybody, come and sit beside me." She loved to talk about people. And she loved to judge them and do these things. And, you know, I suspect we all have people in our lives who are like Clary, always wanting to talk about people and judge them. And if we're honest, maybe there are times when we're that way, because we do that sometimes, and sometimes it can be really interesting. My mother and I entertained a friend of mine for hours talking about our family over Christmas holidays. We were having a good old time, but we were judging. We were judging people in our families, and this passage is warning us about that. It says a lot of things. It says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, do to others the way you would have them do to you, be merciful just as your Father is merciful, do not judge, you will not be judged, do not condemn, and you will not be condemned, forgive, and you will be forgiven. There's one line in that Jesus is talking about what we refer to as the golden rule. It didn't start with Jesus. It's actually, we see it in writings, other writings from the same period of time where Jesus was speaking, and we've all heard it. Your parents raised you with it. I talked to the youth about it. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Jesus was saying that. But Jesus did what Jesus always does, and he twisted it a little bit. So Jesus had a way of interpreting things a little bit differently than the rest of us. So instead of just saying, do to others as you would have them do to you, he said, do good to those who do bad to you. And that is radical. Because it's pretty easy to do to others the way we would have them do to you, but to do good to someone who's done bad to you puts it on a whole nother level. And Jesus, especially in the book of Luke, was a great equalizer. He was up on the mountain. He was praying. He came down to a level place where he could speak to the disciples and to the people that were there. And he told them something radical. He said to them that the poor would receive the riches of the kingdom, that those who weep will laugh, then to put your enemies on the same footing as your friends. To not judge, to not condemn, to forgive, to give, and to bless your enemies. Meaning to ask God to look favorably on those people that you consider to be your enemies. That is a tall order. So how in the world do we go about living our lives responding with grace and kindness instead of reacting to words that hurt with hurt? How do we do that? Have you ever been hurt by anyone? Yes? No? Have you been hurt by someone? Yeah, I think we all have. Has anyone you love ever been hurt by someone? To me, that's worse. I don't know about you, but to me, that's worse. You can do what you want to me, but don't mess with the folks I love. That's when I have a really hard time. And that's when I have a difficult time praying for those people, forgiving those people. I will hold on to that grudge. I'll pack it in my suitcase, and I will drag it along beside me and take it with me from now on. Am I the only one? Or do other people do that too? Okay, I think looks like some other people do that too. Good. I'm glad I'm not alone. But Jesus is wanting us to do something different. Jesus is calling us to act in a different way, a way that's contrary to our natural instincts. And the only way that we could do that is from the power of God. That's the only way it's possible. And when I was preparing this, I found this story. And there were these two men that were in China. One was a Christian man and one was not. And they both had these rice fields. And so the Christian man would go out in the morning and he would get on this thing. It's kind of like a bicycle. And he would pump it to pump water into his fields so his rice would grow. And he'd get done doing that. And the man who was not a Christian, his field was just below the one who was a Christian. So he'd go out there and he would remove the boards. So all the water would then flow into his rice field. And this kept going on. Day after day, this was happening. And the man finally prayed. And he said, Lord, if this keeps happening, I'm going to lose my crop. I have a family to feed, and I'm not going to be able to feed them. What should I do? What can I do? And right after that, an idea came to him. So the next day, before dawn, he went out to the rice fields. And you know what he did? He did something phenomenal. He started pumping water into his neighbor's field. And he did that one first. And then he pumped water into his field. And so after a few weeks, both fields were producing a great crop of rice. And then lo and behold, eventually, the man who wasn't a Christian converted to Christianity because he saw this great example of someone who was doing something nice for him, even though he'd been stealing his water. I don't know about the rest of you. That's not what I would have done. I would have gone out there and pumped my field with water, and then I would have sat there and dared you to pull that board up. Am I alone? Y'all have done that too? Some of us, some people might have even taken a gun out there with them and say, I dare you to do this. But, because that's our inclination. But what was different in this transaction was the prayer. The Christian man prayed about this. He didn't just go with his natural instinct. He prayed about it. And then he was given the answer of what to do. And Jesus knows full well that on our own, we're not going to do what that man did. We're going to do what we think is right. And without this amazing grace that we get from God, we're not able to transform ourselves to react differently to things. Are any of you familiar with Flannery O'Connor's story, Revelation, with Ruby Turpin? It's a great story that shows how we might need to change a little bit. Ruby was a Southern woman, probably back in the 40s, somewhere along that time. She thought very, very highly of herself. She actually described herself as a respectable, hard-working, church-going woman. And this is how she described herself. She said, I never spared myself when I found somebody in need, whether white, black, trash, or decent. Notice how she's labeling people. I'm grateful. If it's one thing I am, it's grateful. When I think of all I could have been besides myself and what all I got, a little of everything and a good disposition besides, I just feel like shouting. Well, she was grateful. She was grateful for who she thought she was. And she was comparing herself to all these other people and deciding that she was better than all of them. And one day, she had an awakening. She was in a doctor's office, and she sized up all the people in the room, deciding who was trash and who was worthy of her to speak to. And so there was one woman who she thought was dressed nicely, and she said you could tell a lot by people by the shoes that they wear. And so she was looking at people's shoes and who she thought might be a better person than the other person. And there was one woman she decided she could speak to. And so she was talking to her, and there was a young girl, a teenage girl, in the waiting room who was hearing everything they were talking about. And she had described this young woman as fat and ugly, and had decided that she was better than her as well. But this young lady seemed to be able to peer into Ruby's soul and see Ruby for who she really was. And she kept staring at Ruby. Thank you, Art. I'm going to stare at you for a minute. So she kept staring at Ruby, and Ruby inside was wondering what this fat, ugly girl was staring at her for. And she finally said something to the girl, and the girl looked at her and called her an old warthog from hell, and then physically attacked her. They had to pull her off of her and give her some medication and take her off to the hospital. And it shook this woman, Ruby, to the core. And so that night, Ruby was hosing down her hog pen because they had clean hogs. And so she was out there and she was yelling at God for sending her this message that she said she did not deserve. Kind of out of all the other people in that waiting room, that other trash that was in there, that God gave her this message. Why her? And then she received a vision from God. And this is how it's described. She saw hordes of souls rumbling toward heaven, whole companies of white trash, clean for the first time, Black folks in white robes, battalions of freaks and lunatics shouting and clapping and leaping like frogs. Bringing up the rear was a tribe of people that Ruby recognized. They looked just like her and her husband, Claude. You see, Ruby was learning a lesson. Ruby was learning that God does not see people the way we see people. God's economy is different than our economy. Ruby learned that when she was judging all of these people, she was judging with her earthly eye. And if we do the same thing, we'll fall in that same trap. So we start judging people, talking about folks. Come sit by me. Let's talk. The next time we start doing that, what I'd like for us to do is think about Ruby and maybe show a little bit of mercy and a little bit of compassion. You see, God's transforming grace can help us with this because that's really the only way we're going to be able to do it. Our nature is to be like Ruby. Isn't it? Isn't that our nature? We're going to be like Ruby. But God's grace can transform us, and the really great news is God's grace can transform us even while we're resisting it. I think that's great news. And this passage from Luke, all of those things it talks about, loving your enemies, this is hard. It's called the gospel, the good news. But sometimes the good news isn't always easy news, and this is one of those passages that's just not easy. Did you see, when we decide to follow Christ, it's a narrow path. It's not wide. It's a really narrow path. It's a difficult path. But grace will illuminate the way, and the rewards are not imaginable if we will just follow that. But it takes prayer. It takes prayer to do it. The next time we're thinking, this is too hard, I can't do it. We don't have to like the people that we're praying for. It doesn't say that. It says to pray for them. And let's remember what Christ did. When Christ was on the cross, he'd been tortured. It was a horrible death. What is it that Christ said from the cross? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. You suspect maybe we don't know what we're doing either. And we've been forgiving. And so that's what God wants us to do, is to extend that mercy and that grace to people who are not like us, that people maybe we have a hard time loving, that someone we're having a hard time dealing with. And when we do that, when we show this compassion and this mercy, God will work with us because God knows that if we try, God knows that we're not always going to be perfect. We're going to fail at this. But God is asking us to try. Just try, and God will meet us there. And then God's grace can help us do the rest of it. Let's pray. Dear God, you command us to love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, to bless those who curse us, to pray for those who mistreat us. You desire for us to be merciful and forgiving like you, but we need help to do it. Help us to follow your command, to see others as you see them, and to love as you love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.